be ours a religion which, like sunshine, goes everywhere. Its temple, all space, its shrine, the good heart, its creed, all truth, its ritual, works of love, its profession of faith, divine living. These are the words of Reverend Theodore Parker shaping our centering song. Reverend Parker is commonly accepted as one of the most influential Unitarian ministers of the 19th century. He was an ordained pastor of a small congregation in West Roxbury, Massachusetts, not far from where I lived when I was in college. And at that time, his name became well known through his controversial statements about the Bible and theology. More people became interested in his views that spoke against biblical literalism and offered provocative questions about God and Jesus, salvation, and miracles. Parker's controversial message was communicated in an ordination sermon. His message was that for us to let go of the transient, the changeable or obsolete, and stay fast to what is everlasting, the permanency of community, convictions, and covenant. Truth had a large mooring for Parker, shown through our way of living. This view influenced his movement towards radical activism in support of racial justice and helping to fund the abolitionist John Brown's 1859 raid on the Federal Army of Harper's Ferry, the 160th anniversary of which was just a few days ago. He faced frequent criticism from the mainstream Unitarians of his time and denouncement over his views on democracy in addition to his views on religion. Parker, however short his ministry and life, he died in his early 50s or just before turning 50, I think. But Parker experienced a religion which, like sunshine, goes everywhere. He went on to become the minister of the largest free church, as it was called in the time in our country during the 1850s, with thousands listening into his sermons each week. "Its ritual works of love," he wrote. "Its profession of faith, divine living." A belief that continues to inspire Unitarian Universalists now, that our interconnectedness is the canopy of our faith, our eternal. Aside from the first principle to affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person, it's likely our most indispensable devotion as Unitarian Universalists. What makes a Unitarian Universalist belong? By connection through our promises to one another, our covenants. Saying aloud to one another what we will do to be in relationship to one another. Striving to act according to those bonds, and when we fail or fall short, returning to our agreements. Living as our profession of faith, rather than simply confirming right beliefs or one truth. If you have been given the impression that being Unitarian Universalist means to just believe in whatever you want, well, I am sorry if I or we have misled you, as it is not the case, nor has ever been, that religious freedom of belief or lack of creed alone is what makes us who we are. I like how Unitarian Universalist Association President Reverend Susan Frederick Gray puts it. "We sometimes wrongly say it is the absence of creed that's most important to who we are as UUs. This is wrong. Any of us could practice religious freedom at home on Sunday mornings. We could practice religious freedom all day long, every day, and never come into community." She writes, "It is covenant that brings us out of isolation, covenant that brings us out of selfish concerns, out of individualism, to join ourselves to something greater, to become a part of a community that is working to practice love, to dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom and wisdom together, to find better ways to live into our lives and live in the world. It is covenant, one could say, that brings the penguin into the huddle, the practice of joining in love to survive. You should not meet the harshness of this world alone. The practice of joining in love to deepen our awareness, the practice even of failing, but failing together to meet our commitments. The practice of restoring trust in ourselves, forgiving others, and joining in love once more. This is covenant. During my first sermon here, I said that our Sunday gathering is a time dedicated to practicing the patterns of our life together in a medium of shared place, shared song, along with a heritage of Unitarian Universalist and Unitarian Universalist forebearers who encourage us, warn us, and challenge us. If the pattern of the life of the Emperor Penguin Dads is to repeat instinctively that practice of swarming one another and huddling to keep the right collective temperature, then what is it that's in our bones as Unitarian Universalists? What's our collective drive, the pattern of our shared life? As UUs, as a people of covenant, we return again and again to be reminded of our connectedness and to rededicate ourselves to our most crucial promises, the ones we make to ourselves and those we make to one another. We belong because we say we belong, and we mean it. It's fully voluntary, and that is part of what gives our covenant so much power and influence over our existence as a faith. People must freely choose to huddle. And it's not really possible to half huddle or to half promise and call it Unitarian Universalism or to stay at the right temperature. James Luther Adams, who's considered one of the most influential UU theologians of the 20th century, names five ingredients of covenant. First, that human beings individually and collectively become human by making commitment, by making promise. Secondly, that in a religious covenant, the orientation is to something we can't control, but something upon which we depend, even for our freedom. This may be a higher power or something outside of our individual bodies, or it may be that which is between us when we connect. Third, that we are responsible for individual behavior, but also for the character of society. Fourth, that covenants apply to all of us. We are also embedded in systems that may seek to oppress and divide us. Whether we are at the margins or are accustomed to having our lives or worldviews challenged. And lastly, that our covenant depends upon our faithfulness, our trustworthiness. It is more love than law that will not part from us and refuse to let us go. Reverend Marisol Caballero interpreted the Emperor Penguin's huddling behaviors in terms of human community and equity. In her narrative, she said that just like the penguins, our human family suffers individually and collectively when forces of power shuffle the same folks to the margins or disconnect them from community time and time again. Think about your community, she asks. Who gets support and resources? Is it the same people every time? Might you have spent too much time in the warm center? Could this be harming your family or your colony of penguins? Could it be harming someone else who needs us? Why don't human communities instinctively choreograph ourselves for equity and common good, she wonders. Well, you know what happens when someone chooses not to move or when some may be frozen by fear or circumstance. Truthfully, we endure harsh conditions in this world. A well-choreographed huddle is crucial. Shuffle on, human family. Shuffle on. Reverend Caballero finishes her story. A couple of years ago, I wrote a curriculum for beginning church-based support groups for people with chronic health conditions. And for those of us with chronic health conditions, the freedom to belong in community is often a concrete, embodied matter. Accessible or inaccessible? Is this pleasant or life-threatening? Visible or invisible? In beginning a support group, I invite people to name what their bodies need to really belong in that space and in their Unitarian Universalist community at large. At a first meeting of one new support group, two pastoral care leaders and I asked the question as a way of introducing our group covenant, the promises that we agreed to keep and revisit so that our circle would remain both whole and open. If we did anything right, I figured, it would be figuring out what everybody needed to show up for that one-hour session, even just two times per month. So we asked people to notice, what do you need to belong here? And we listened. The group began naming the sensations or needs their body was presenting to them. And when it came to Dottie's time to speak, she shared that she had migraines and would feel most welcome if the lights in the meeting room were turned off for our session. And Alfred, a man who was legally blind, said that he could see our materials printed in large size font, but his body would need the lights to remain on in order to belong in this space. I panicked. I silently vowed to never use this ritual opening again. Here was this new group, and already I had guided us to an impasse in covenant. What could be worthwhile about a covenanting process, I thought. Why should we ask a group to share divergent needs with one another if we'd come to two needs that appeared contradictory? I looked at my faces of my co-facilitators across the circle and saw the terror in my eyes reflected in theirs. We had asked, and now we had to respond. That was our promise together. That was our covenant. What could make an us possible? But I think vulnerability can be the source of our power if we use it. If. As the group session came to a close without a resolution, I felt that vulnerability, that tension in my neck, the frantic tapping of my toe. We've probably all had a moment like that before. We may not be too far off of what the penguins know about how and who belongs in community. And people who were coping with chronic conditions, those in that circle know this well. We can size up a chair or a pew and know if it'll work for our body. We carry the creams, the pills, the compression socks, or our favorite cushion. We speak up for our needs not because we're cranky, but because it's the difference between entering a space or turning around empty-handed about whether we can survive together. To use vulnerability as a source of power that cannot be ignored, it requires a tangible response. It requires us to think carefully and fully about where we are, how we are held in the huddle. Alice Blair Wesley writes that our covenants, that defining form of our relationship with one another as Unitarian Universalists, these defining forms imbue us with promise. Our covenants give shape to what a mutual spirit of love is. We gather regularly and often, she writes, otherwise, the spirit of love is just a bodiless obstruction. We show up physically for the commitments we make. As we build the world in which we are meant to be free, our relationships pull stronger and stronger on our covenants. It's not really about the lights on or off, is it? It's about the concrete actions that our covenants require of us. Our promises have tactical specificity. The facilitators of that group and I decided to stay dedicated to those promises within the covenant we'd created. Our commitment to do right by one another's needs. Those very things that would make an us possible. If we let that covenant go, we realized we would be letting go of each other. So we reached out to Dottie and Alfred. We brainstormed options. We got into the details of what the needs really were. In the end, we decided the lights would remain off during the meeting. And then apart from the circle where Dottie was, we'd move a reading lamp from the church office close to Alfred's side for each session so he had sufficient light to meet his needs. An easy, one might say, technical fix that at its surface may not have a lot of meaning, but it had power. Our group's ability to include Dottie and Alfred together in ways that affirmed and held their bodies fueled us to stay true to the relationships that we were building. We used it to build strength so that the next time something hard happened, it would bubble over but not blow us down. These lessons could shape our next courageous act, how we practice covenant, not once, but for a lifetime of courage. I imagine that most of us can think of things we do that make us feel vulnerable and that require our courage. To make an us possible, we are led through conflict, doubts, and heartbreak. We will have moments of surprise, relief, and joy in practicing the pattern of our life together. We also carry the lessons from times we endured and were courageous, which have delivered us to this very moment. In a world that cries out for our courage, the more we embody our covenants, the more creative we become in our choreography, the more loving we can be in the process. Our covenants can persist across difference, breathe in us. Through our promises, we practice we. We practice belonging. We may take pride in our individuality, in our religious freedom, which is no small feat. But the foundation of our faith is in our relatedness, in our persistent huddle, in our steadfast pursuit of equity. As Lisa Ward writes, the task of this covenant is to take responsibility for the freedom we espouse. We know that we are interconnected and that what we do keeps rippling out in hope of affirmation. What we do with and for one another is powerful and beyond our imagining. May we live into our covenants. May we shuffle together, human family. Thank you.